continue today on the pastor study, our study that we began last time that we were together on Christian suffering. Last time we began to look at the question, why do sufferings come? And we saw, number one, as a result of sin. And the second point under that question, why do sufferings come, is that the works of God might be made manifest. That the works of God might be made manifest. I want us to turn together and to the Gospel of John, chapter number 9. The Gospel of John, chapter 9, with me, please. And in John chapter 9, we see here a man that was born blind that receives his sight at the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin in John chapter 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And then we read in verse 3, and Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And of course, the disciples came with Jesus, and they found this blind man, and of course they thought it was possibly the reason he was blind because of his sin or his parents' sin, amen. But Jesus said no. He gave them a startling answer that neither one was a cause for why this happened. Jesus healed them, amen? He healed them. Jesus gave the startling answer, neither one, for this happened that Jesus could heal him, amen? That the works of God may be manifest. You know, when others are ill, we have to be very careful to not cruelly judge them and say, what sin has he or she committed this time, amen? The Lord may make that individual sick to get more fellowship with him, amen? So we see then, why do sufferings come, amen? So that the works of God might be made manifest, might be revealed, amen? And that's what was the reason for this suffering of this blind man, being blind since birth, amen? It's so that God's the works of God, amen, might be revealed, amen. And that was revealed, that Jesus Christ and the Father indeed won, amen, because Jesus said over and over again, he came to do the will of the Father, amen. Now, another reason, as we look at, we've seen, why do sufferings come? We saw as a result of sin. Number two, that the works of God might be manifest. Number three, for the glory of God, for the glory of God. We remember the case, amen. A good illustration of this is the brother of Mary and Martha, amen. And, of course, his name was Lazarus, amen. He was sick unto death. He died, amen, we know. He was in the tomb 4 days, amen. And, of course, Mary and Martha were very upset, and they told Jesus to come while their brother was still alive, that he was very ill, amen. And, of course, some will say, well, you know, he delayed in his coming, amen, and he could have come and healed Lazarus. But there was a reason for that, and we see the reason for the suffering, amen, the suffering of Lazarus, and then eventually his death. And, of course, his sisters, Mary and Martha, went through suffering because, you know, they lost their dear brother that they very much loved. We read in John, the Gospel of John 11:4. Let's move there to 11:4. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 11. In verse number 4, we see, and we read here in John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So we begin the chapter of John 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha, and it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And then when Jesus heard that, heard the news that Lazarus, who Jesus loved, was sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And we see Lazarus was raised from the dead, and many believed. Surely God has derived a great deal of glory from this story all through the years. We must remember, whatever our trial might be, we should take this sweet attitude. If this thing delights the heart of the Father, then you and I should be happy. Amen. We see then, why do sufferings come? A third reason, for the glory of God. And God certainly got the glory here. Amen. When Lazarus was healed. Amen. And so we see that, in fact, the Lord said this in the same chapter there, 11 of John. It says, and they took away the stone from the place, in other words, a stone from the tomb of where Lazarus was laying. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So we see then that God would get the glory, amen, through the death of Lazarus, his suffering, and that people would believe that God the Father sent Jesus, that he was God's Son, amen. Now let's move on. As we ask that question, why do sufferings come? Well, the work of the enemy with God's permissive will. And, of course, a great illustration of that would be Job. This was the experience of Job in the book of Job, amen? In the book of Job. We see that that Job said to the Lord that if he took the hedge away around Job, that Job would curse him. So we see then that, Job suffered quite a bit, did he not? We see he lost all his possession, amen, all of his possessions, all his material goods and livestock and so forth and so on. And if that wasn't bad enough, he lost his children. And if that wasn't bad enough, he lost his health. And then he had to listen to three friends psychoanalyze why this all happened to him, amen. So the guy suffered, but the Lord allowed it, amen. In fact, his wife even told him, Job, why don't you curse God and die? And he didn't, amen. So we see that, you know, suffering comes as a result of the work of the enemy, the devil, which God permits. We also see another illustration, amen, the outcast of Gadara, amen, was mentally ill because of the indwelling devils, amen, there in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. And then also, again, we see a woman who had an infirmity. She was bound by Satan for 18 years in Luke chapter 13, verse 16. And then we see in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, speaks of those that are oppressed of the devil. So we see then, why do sufferings come? Well, number four, the work of the enemy, the work of the devil, with God's permissive will. And then a fifth reason we see why do sufferings come, because of chastisement. Amen. Or child training. Our Heavenly Father, amen, when we get out of His will and we sin and we're disobedient, He corrects us, amen, as a earthly father would do to his earthly son. In fact, we read about it over there in Hebrews. Let's turn to Hebrews with me. Hebrews chapter 12 speaks about the chastisement of God. And this is one reason why suffering comes. God is training us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 and following. Excuse me, Hebrews 12, verses 5 and following. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Amen. And here we're being told that when you're being chastised by the Lord, not to despise it, hate it, amen. Not to faint, quit when you're going through chastisement. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So we see this chastisement, this child training, amen, is because the Lord loves us, because we're his children, amen. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? See, what this is telling is chastisement is a mark of sonship, amen, that you're a son of God. Because the a man wouldn't chastise someone else's child, would he? Of course not. Then we read, but if you be without chastisement whereof, all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. It's saying if God isn't chastising you, if you don't belong to him, then he's not your father. Then you're like an illegitimate child, a bastard, amen? Then we read verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And again, he's saying that we had respect, reverence towards our earthly father who chastened us, and more so, shouldn't we, our heavenly Father? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So he's saying the chastising of the Lord is even more beneficial than your earthly father gave you, amen? That was for, it says here, for his own pleasure, but for the Lord, the reasoning for his chastening of us is for our profit, for us to benefit from it. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. That's for sure. If you have ever been under the chastening hand of the Lord, it's not joyous. It's grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Amen? Praise God. There's benefits. There's fruit being yielded through the chastisement. Amen? Peaceful fruit of righteousness. Amen? See, the parent cannot let the child have its own way always. Neither can God with us. And the parent gladly yields if the child chooses wisely, and God is trying to teach us through chastening to make wise and right decisions. And the goal, we must remember, the goal of chastisement is a trained child who makes good decisions even when far away from parental authority. Suffering is often a part of his plan to train us. So, we've been looking, asking the question, why do sufferings come? And we've looked at, and this is by no means an exhaustive list, but we looked at five reasons. Why do sufferings come? Well, we saw, first of all, as a result of sin. Second, that the works of God might be made manifest. Third, for the glory of God. Fourth, the work of the enemy, the devil, with God's permissive will. And then fifth, chastisement. Now, we move on for point number three in our study on Christian suffering. And point number three is the purpose. My friend, the purpose of suffering. Number one, to prove our sonship, that we belong to God, that we are God's sons and daughters. Listen to what Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 8 says. But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, in are ye bastards and not sons. Amen. It proves sonship. If he wasn't our heavenly Father, then he wouldn't be chastising. Just like, as I mentioned earlier, just a moment ago, a man wouldn't chastise a child that doesn't belong to him. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What does that tell us? If I do not suffer, then I am not a true Christian. The parent that really loves a child must punish him. And suffering is a proof of God's special love for you and for me. So we see one reason for the purpose of suffering, or one of the purposes of suffering, is to prove our sonship. Number two, to profit us. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10 tells us that the chastening of the Lord is for our profit. Amen. In other words, suffering is good for us. Amen. Suffering is good for us. So we see then another purpose then for suffering is to profit us. A third reason, to produce holiness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, so that we can be partakers. Amen. Partakers. That's what it says. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So a third reason, or a third purpose of suffering, is to produce holiness, to be partakers of God's holiness. He wants to make you and I, his children, more holy, more godlike, more like himself. And this takes the fire of suffering. Amen. Now, a fourth purpose for suffering, amen, as we're looking at the purpose of suffering, is to test us. Are we genuine Christians? Can we trust him in pain and suffering? You see, it takes fire to take away the dross, the impurities, and leave the pure gold. Amen. See, that's where your faith is put to the test. Amen. Where your faith is refined. Amen. And the fire is heated up. That you can trust God when you're going through pain and suffering and trials. So another purpose, or a fourth purpose of suffering, is to test us. A fifth is to produce a harvest. Hebrews 12, verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You've got to be exercised, amen, with chastening if you're going to yield or produce a harvest. A harvest. In this particular point, yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness. In other words, we'll live our lives, will our lives be nothing but leaves, or will they bear fruit? And of course, we have the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit produces through us if we're yielded to him in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. Suffering is one of God's choicest fertilizers to increase the harvest. That's a nice way to put it, amen? It's not to harm us, amen, suffering. It's to help us, it's to make us grow, amen, to continue on in our journey down here on this earth. We go through one trial, we go through another. But they seem easier because we've gone through some things. We've been with the Lord and we've found that we can trust Him in times of pain and suffering. Amen. Now, the fourth point I want to make in this study on Christian suffering is our response to suffering. What should it be? Well, one response may be we may despise it. Amen. Rebelling instead of submitting. And what does this happen? This attitude leads to hardness. The hardening of the heart. Rebellion. Rebelling against God. Amen. So that we don't want to have that response. We may faint under it. See? We may quit. We may give up on God, stop serving Him. We need not, though, for the Lord said this to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." God will give you His grace to get you through whatever suffering, amen, that you have to go through. There is grace, amen, to bear the thorn, the trial, and the suffering. You know, the saving grace, amen. This is sufficient grace, amen, to get us to be able to get through, to bear the thorn, the trial, and the suffering. Now, what's another response? As we're looking as our responses to suffering, we may acquiesce and bear it. Amen. And this is the lowest form of victory. You know, just say, okay, all right. You know, if I got to go through it, I got to go through it. Amen. But that's not the right attitude. What's the correct response? Number four, we may happily yield to the will of God. Embrace the will of God and pray for progress in the Christian life. This is the highest form of victory. When we happily yield to it, amen, we go with it. We don't try to fight it, amen. We don't rebel against it. We don't faint. That's the correct response, amen, to suffering. That's all part of the Christian walk, suffering. A lot of times it's not spoken about. Amen. People will teach you get saved and, you know, all your problems go away. You know, life's going to be a rose garden. You'll never have any more pain or suffering. And see what happens when the pain and suffering comes along, it's like the rug has been pulled from out from under you because you weren't taught correctly. Amen. The Bible clearly talks about the Christian suffering. Amen. Over and over and over again. If you read the epistles of Peter, amen, that's one of the things that Peter talks about over and over and over again. For example, Peter says this, 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as some strange thing happen unto you." See, that should be your true attitude in affliction and trial. Not to say, "Why is this happening to me? This is a strange thing." He says, it should be happening to you. Amen. He says, "But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." You're going to be glad that you suffer when Christ comes. Amen. "And if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." Amen. So he talks here over, and Peter talks through his epistles amen, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, amen, about suffering. Not to think it's strange. We're going to suffer, amen. That's part of the Christian life. That's part of the walk with God, amen. So we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't, you know, let it get us off the beaten track, amen. Get us discouraged, amen. Get us to quit from serving God. It's all part of it, amen. In fact, he said, Peter again in 1 Peter, amen, 1 Peter, and he's talking, the central theme of 1 Peter is the victory over suffering, and the recurrent word that we see over and over again in 1 Peter is all about suffering, amen. So we see that really 1 Peter, the first epistle of Peter, talks about suffering. But he says here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, amen, praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's more precious. Your suffering is more precious, amen, than gold. And we're going to see that when the Lord Jesus Christ appears, amen, when he comes for you and I. That's right. So don't, you know, let your suffering, amen, we've looked at Christian suffering in our study, amen, don't let it surprise you. It may not seem pleasant at times, especially the chastening of the Lord, but don't rebel against it. Don't despise it. Amen. Happily yield to the will of God. He's giving it to you for a purpose. Be it child training, be it to bring honor and glory to his name, or whatever it may be. Amen. It's part of the will of God for your life and my life. Amen. Now, as we conclude today, if I stand in the center of the circle of the will of God, then all that comes to me, be it sickness, be it suffering, be it trials, be it pain, misunderstanding, envy, neglect, loss, darkness, will be from his dear hand. And I will know that it's good for me. Amen. And that's a comfort. So just remember that. If you stand in the center of the circle of the will of God, and all that'll come to you, all your sickening, suffering, and trials, and pains, and so forth and so on, will be from his dear hand. That's if you're saved, if you're born again, if you're one of his children. And know that it's good for you, that it has a purpose. That God isn't, you know, just doing it to get a kick out of, you know, seeing you suffer. He's not like that at all. He is a God that does everything decently in order, and everything has a specific reason. There's no accidents with God. So I hope this study on Christian suffering has been a blessing to you.